So we made a separate page for this one. It's sarahlitton.com/Horrid, spelled off the book. So that, like over there, I put all the recordings, and I also put all the handouts. So in case you ever want to like go back and find something or anything.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah, a pleasure. I'm so thankful. I'm not infiltrating. Yeah, it's a special chance. Like I was looking around a little bit. There's not so many people for some reason teaching this. I'm not exactly sure. It's one of the great mysteries to me. Like how I heard Rav Hirsch a few times in school. Like they would say, "Oh, Rav Hirsch says this." But I don't. It's a little bit of a mystery to me why. A little bit. It's not learned as much.
Because to teach Rav Hirsch, you have to be like. I don't know, a real student, like, really to teach it, like,
yeah.
You aren't just quoting from this person, that, yeah, you have to right. live in it.
I got more and more as I did more and more, but even so, even the bits I did, whatever, I think it's just a little bit hard to read, and that's part of the...
It's a little bit hard to read, like, ignore all enthusiasts all over the world, like, that's
true.
Hard to
that's
read.
Also hard. That's also
very
hard,
hard to read, yeah.
It's already, like, a little bit of a specialized group.
Right.
But within there, so then you also have Pachad Yitzchak and Hirsch.
Right.
Like, it's like a little bit of a club, of a style of Machshava that they,
yeah,
each
right.
one follows from the other one. Okay, so last week we started the essay on Tzedakah and Chesed, because that's really bringing, like we saw with Chesed, there was that quote in Parshas Vayetzar. And this week on Chesed Ve'emes, I did not bring that quote with me. I think it might be that someone has a. I think there might be a copy of a Voracious Rav Hirsch here. We could look for it after. I didn't plan it, but
oh,
where he talks about the definition. Remember?
Yeah,
of the
right
commentary
there.
To the Torah on Voracious.
Yeah.
So in this week's Parsha, he defines Chesed. And I'm always afraid to say, I read it with Kochava after that class. Thank you so much. Because I don't want to say it wrong, because he says it so much better. I don't want to give it over wrong. But with Eliezer going to get a wife, so it's described as Chesed and Emes. Where it is on the page. Such a beautiful lashon. What Ahava is in feelings, Chesed is in deeds. Love translated into action. Yeah. Sorry?
Love that line.
Yeah,
love
yeah it's an amazing, amazing thing. Okay, so that's why we've been talking about Ahava, in a sense. Ahava versus Taiva, because the contrast is so helpful. There's a separate chapter on Ahava, which I hope we'll do after this one, because it answers some of the questions we'll be left with in this one. But it's nice to go into the Tzedakah and Chesed and see how, since the whole point of this is to inspire the heart, but inform the mind and let the information of the mind inspire the heart, and that to motivate the deeds. So it's interesting to watch it carry all the way through, right? And then we jumped off when we read this line where Rav Hirsch said that Hashem calls upon us with the mitzvah of giving to the needy to become a blessing with all he gives you, a blessing to those around you, and that everything sustains and is sustained. That was like the essay in 19 letters, Olam Chesed Yibane. Everything takes and gives and receives a thousandfold in giving, for it receives life instead of mere existence. So then we took a little detour to explore like the difference. Why would a giving life be a life and a taking life is only existence? I mean, it sounds nice, but why would it? What is a little bit more depth to that? So we saw the Maharal in Gur Aryeh who said that the bracha in the Ner from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, also the sixth parsha where he brings it, Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos in Sarah's tent, that's meaning it's a bracha that never goes out. She would light the candles in Erev Shabbos and they would continue till the next Erev Shabbos when she would light them again. It didn't go out. Mi sheberach es acher hu atzmo bracha she'eno posek. And then we saw that idea coming from Rus. So we saw that that's actually, that is the bracha to Abraham of the Heye bracha. You will be a bracha. Not a bracha that you say for 10 seconds. However, a bracha should last us for 10 seconds to say that, right? It's not like benching or something. But
that's true.
2 seconds, right? Not a bracha that's short. It's a bracha that a person who, if he's giving a bracha to another, he becomes a bracha that he himself becomes a bracha that never stops. So that's a little bit of a, maybe an enigmatic statement by the Maharal. Maybe because we don't understand the meaning of bracha so well. So to understand the meaning of bracha, first we saw that that is v'heye bracha. Hashem said to Avraham, you shall be a bracha. And Rashi explained that according to the Medrash as habrachos nesunos b'yadcha. You're going to give bracha to others. That means you are a bracha. So that's clearly the Maharal, the same idea as what that Maharal was saying. And then there was the Sefer Hasidim about Ayin Tova. When a person looks at someone else and wants for them to have what's good, then they become a kli and tzinor for bracha, right? And that was based on a pasuk in Rus. Okay, so then we started reading the essay of Rav Hirsch's teachings that are compiled into the Haggadah on the word Baruch. Okay, so we started with the question, and the question was, this is a common question, what does the word Baruch mean? And you start to try and understand the simple meaning of a bracha, and we say it all the time, Baruch HaShem, Kedem HaKalam, is that just you get stuck on the word Baruch. And the Mefarshim gets stuck on the word Baruch, it's a difficult word. Because how could you say that Hashem is receiving bracha? So it must mean he is Baruch, as the same way we say he's Chanun or Rachum, right? Same kind of conjugation, same kind of binyan, that he's the source of it. He is all that, but not that he's receiving it from us, but we're giving it to him. But then Rav Hirsch brings examples of psukim that clearly you can't really translate them that way. They clearly are pointing to creations as giving the bracha somehow towards Hashem. So he says you can't really ignore that, we have to explore it, right? So that like could be like a good student motto. Don't ignore, explore. Okay. So that was where we got to. And there was this difficult question at the end. The moment Hashem made the fulfillment of his will on earth dependent on the free will of man, he said in effect to him, bless me, I have entrusted you with the implementation of my purpose on earth. And that was a puzzling statement, and I hope we'll get a little more clarity on that now. Okay. So, and now he's going to quote from Tehillim. Somebody conveniently left the Tehillim right here. Yeah. Imagine. Kuf Gimel. It was actually on this table. I moved it to that table, so then I knew that's exactly where the Tehillim was, so it was easy to find it. Okay, this is in Baruch Nafshi. Baruch Hu Hashem Malachov, Gibori Choach Osei Devaro, Lishmo Bekol Devaro, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzva'av, Mesharsav Osei Ritzono, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Ma'asav, Bechol Mekomos Memshalto, Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem. Pretty clear that in those cases, right, it's bringing a very strong case for the fact that when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we can't only explain it as Mekar Kol HaBrachos. Okay. Just as his messengers, all his hosts, his servants who do his bidding, all his works, and all the places of his dominion, that's the quote from the Psukim and Dalem, being instrumental in the fulfillment of his great purpose in the world, you noticed in those Psukim, everything was Osei Ritzono, right? Everything that he created, when it does what Hashem's Ratzon was for it to do, that's somehow Baruch Hu Es Hashem. So being instrumental in the fulfillment of his great purpose in the world, I'd say like instrumental is an awesome word in English here. Because it means two things. It means the instrument of, so it's not in control, right? It's like we said, being the spoon or the fork in someone's hand. That's the instrument. But it's not the driving force, it's not the will. At the same time, instrumental in English does suggest a sort of like importance, a chashivus, like, oh, well, you're instrumental to doing that, sort of suggests like you're the chosen instrument for it. It's not just any instrument that could do that. So it's kind of a nice word here. I don't, you know, it'd be much, very interesting to read these in German, if you knew German, to see which words Rav Hirsch chose, right? That's a big project translating. Being instrumental in the fulfillment of his great purpose in the world, not only praise and thank God, but bless him. We still don't exactly know what that means, but clearly it seems to be so, given the usage of the word in the Pesukim. So does every Jew sense and say to himself, you too, O my soul, bless Hashem. Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem. Okay, that was the ending. All right. In other words, to say, blessed be you, means to pledge oneself to fulfill Hashem's will. Every time we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, What that means is, may it be your will, Hashem, that with the action I am about to take, that I'm making the bracha on, that that may be an expression of your will. That's what Baruch Atah Hashem means. This thing I'm about to do, or appreciate, or, right? Even the brachas in the morning are really associated by the Gemara with when you put on your shoes, when you put on your clothes, when you put on your head cover, when you, right? A bracha is tied to something in the physical world always. It could be something you saw, lightning or heard, thunder, right? Smell, but it's always associated with something physical and tangible. Because remember, the bracha is attaching, right? It's that tzinor between the upper world and the lower world. We always use the bracha for that purpose. So when I say a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, it means to pledge oneself to fulfill Hashem's will. And it's almost a request. It's more than just the English pledge. It's not only that I commit myself to His will, I'm begging Him that I should be successful in achieving His will in what I do. It's a wonderful focus for a bracha. Yeah, when you're about to say bracha, it's an amazing thing to focus. Rav Schwab said that when somebody asked him how to have more kavan and davening, he told them, you should just concentrate on the word baruch. This comes up so often that if you do that, everything else really follows. Also, it's the first word. Everything unfolds kind of out of that first word of the bracha. The whole idea of it, it gets more and more specific as you work your way through the blessing. But the word baruch really contains in it the whole concept. And the more you learn about it, then the more you get from it. Okay, so understood in this way, the concept of bracha, blessing, is the theme underlying all of a Jew's thinking. That's worth repeating. The concept of a bracha is the theme underlying all of a Jew's thinking. Everything you think about is really about bracha. Rav Pinkus describes bracha as like, you want to carry in the fancy, I don't know, like maybe a leichter with like the candles on top. So there's a tray, and the tray is holding the candelabra, and the candelabra is holding the cups, and the cups are holding the candles, and the candles are holding the wicks, and the wicks are holding the flame. But you pick it all up with the handles on the bottom, right? So maybe the whole ikkar and the whole goal of it is the flame. But the way you get a hold of the whole thing is from those handles at the bottom. He says, brachas are the yisod of everything. It's the lowest part of the world. It's from the physical world that we attach brachas onto them. But you grab onto it all with the bracha. And that's why, even though there's a part of davening called brachos, and that's where you start and lay your foundations, even as you move up into higher levels of davening in Psukei Dezimra and Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, the word baruch still comes along with you. You still frame it all in terms of brachos. That's the handle that lets you grab onto everything. Okay. It is the idea which every Jew should convert into a reality. Again, you hear that same theme. So there's a concept called bracha that is really the fundamental thing in everything we think about as Jews. And the avoda is to turn that thought into reality. So if it's what I think about, from the tangible, that's me at the bottom, elevating the tangible by saying the bracha on it, right? And bringing it up into that higher world, that top line of the base. When I turn it into a reality, I'm taking the thought in the higher level and bringing it down into the physical. So if there's a pasuk, and the pasuk says, kavides avicha ve'esimecha, and then I turn that into reality and I do an action on it, there happens to not be a bracha on that because it's kind of a constant mitzvah, and I turn it into something tangible, then I completed the avoda. So there's two aspects to it. There's the bottom up, and there's the top down. But that's life as a Jew. That's what bracha is. That's exactly what bracha is. That's why beis. That's why the world is created with beis. Right? The Gemara says, why not aleph? Because beis is for bracha. Well, beis is probably for a lot of things. I don't know. Baseball. Beis could stand for all kinds of other things, right? Some of them are maybe not so nice. No, it's because that's what the letter beis is. That's the tunis. As soon as there's a physical world that's being created, that all starts from the letter beis, because now we have a lower world. Yeah, there's a physicality that didn't exist before. That all is the letter beis. Now you have an upper world and a lower world, and there's a connection between them, and that connection is bracha. Okay, so we have two directions. It is the concept that is the theme underlying all of Jews' thinking. It is the idea which every Jew should convert into a reality. And the entire Torah exists only to teach us the way in which we can and should bless Hashem. That's Torah. It's a very bold statement. I imagine it's one way of explaining also that the world was created with the letter Beis, which is Bracha. It's a very bold statement. You say, how could you say that? He always has a basis. Always, always, always. Never, never from him. Wow. So that's it's a basis. Okay. Indeed. The word Baruch. Okay, we talked about this. The idea of a mikdash is a space where Hashem's glory is revealed, right? A person is the kind of a mikdash, a space where Hashem's glory is revealed. We talked about this here. Remember? Okay, so that's the mission. That's the world is created for that. A person is created for that. Okay. The word Baruch. And now it goes to the right side. Because page 50 is on the right. The word Baruch, from which the noun bracha is derived, encompasses the entire mission of the life of the Jew. You see why I say you could build your whole life on this? This essay you gotta have like around. You have to always have it available. That's your mission statement. This understanding of blessing is what distinguishes Yisrael from the rest of the nations. Give you a hint, right? Why then Hashem said to Avram v'heye bracha? What's Avram's the first Jew? This is where it starts. It starts with Veheye Bracha. It starts with Avraham.
Because we are a Bracha, therefore...
No, because we're the children of Avraham. I mean, if this is how a Jew is different from a Goy. Is this Avoda of Bracha. In other words, the Avoda of Veheye Bracha. It was a Bracha that Hashem gave to Avraham, but it's also a task. It's a command. Veheye is a task. You shall be a Bracha. It's a blessing, and it's also a charge, right? Go forth and be a blessing.
When we like say or think about the word baruch, should we disregard, I don't know, forget about the English word bless?
Like, might make your life easier.
Right? I don't think
he's going to give a translation for it. He will give a translation for it. But yeah, whatever works for you.
It's not.
Blessed is a hard word.
What does blessed even mean in the first place?
It means like you're wishing someone to have good.
Right. So that actually is not a bad...
Anything
it's not bad. Mission. Wait, let's get there. He's saying that it doesn't only mean Hashem is the source of blessing, but that we are blessing Him, meaning He's blessed from us.
He said that we should do it. Give good to Hashem.
Right. He was saying that's why some of Farshim say that you should translate Baruch Atah the same way Chanun or Rachum, meaning you're the source of it. But he's saying there's psukim that argue otherwise. You have psukim that say straight out. Mishar se Hashem, Baruch Nafshi as Hashem.
Does Baruch in Hebrew, like literally, also mean wishing someone good or giving someone good?
It seems not to, yes. Just in English. Correct.
Oh.
I don't know in English.
Well,
blessed doesn't mean that you're wishing it, it means you're saying it's a fact.
Blessed, right, Baruch is blessed.
It's a fact, right. So here it's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit of request to it, too. Okay, so what is let's explore. What's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew in this idea of bracha? All other human beings approach their gods, begging and beseeching them. Could be we've been known to do that. Their prayer says, bless me. What's wrong with that? Don't we do that? Like, please, could you heal me? Please, could you provide? Beginning with the savage kneeling in front of his idol, and ending with the savant attempting to impart religion to the enlightened. He's saying whether you're thinking of the ancient, you know, worship or modern, classy looking kind of religion. What they call religion is the product of a feeling of dependence, their sense of utter helplessness on the one hand, and their intuition of the existence of a higher being upon which all are dependent on the other. Do you remember earlier on, we saw, he said, you're going to worship anything that you think can give you what you feel you need. Okay, so that's where Avodah Zarah comes from. That's where these religions are coming from. I'm helpless. We are helpless before God. It's not...
Aren't we the same?
It's our starting place, but with Avram, something more happened. He's going to explain what more. I know, you read this and you're like, hang on.
I think it
is. I hope there's more here. Okay. So, in other words, I'm dependent... And there's somebody up there who could help me, whether it's like the spirit of the tree or really an idea that there's a God somewhere, but something. That is the faith on which their altars are built and which makes both savant and savage pray from their heart, bless me. But what leads the Jew to God is not the request, bless me, for he understands that his blessing has already been granted. He realizes that everything, the forces of nature, the workings of history, the highlights and pleasures, as well as the sorrows of his personal life, meaning the forces of nature, these are big things, things that affect the entire planet, things that affect the continent, things that affect your country, things that affect your state, your city, and you personally are his blessing. The life Hashem gave you and all of the events in it, that's the bracha he's giving you already. Everything you need, he provides. He always considers himself blessed in both happiness and grief. Okay, so I hinted to this story before. Let me tell you. When I don't know if you've heard of Rav Simcha Ellis. Rav Simcha Ellis is the mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So, goodness, it was probably even before you were born. I was friends with his wife a little bit. I wish I could claim to be close friends, but I can't. But Malka Devorah Ellis. And she was tragically killed very suddenly. She was run over by a tractor. Really a disaster. One of her kids saw it. It was terrible. Terrible, terrible thing. And the community was shattered. Could imagine. We all looked up to her. Such an amazing, warm, lovely person. You know, she's very, very close friends with Kayla Hollander. You know Mrs. Hollander? Very, very close friends with Mrs. Hollander. Went to Lavaya. Anyway, 2 weeks later, they made a kenes chizuk. Because so... And someone else spoke from the neighborhood, and then Rabbi Ellis got up to speak. He's supposed to speak 2 weeks after his wife died. And he got up, and he gave a long speech, which is worth hearing. I have copies of it. It was a life-changing thing. He then went on afterward. He said he sees that this is so important for the ladies, and he gave a four-part shiur in the first part of Masilas Yashar for these fundamentals. He was mechazek, everyone else. Okay, because everyone else is sitting there shattered, and how do you grapple with such a thing? And he got up, and he leaned forward. The room was packed, maybe twice the size of this room, and he said, ladies, I don't have a problem with this. And we're all like, oh, we do. He said, the hurt and the pain might never go away, but I don't have a problem with this. That's what it means that a Jew knows he's always blessed. I saw myself. Understand? Like, what does it mean? Whatever Hashem has given me is my blessing. I might still have, that's in, blessed in both happiness and grief. Yeah? What motivates him is not to receive blessing, because that would be taiva. Yeah? But to dispense blessing, that's alva. Not barich, bless me, but baruch atah, be you blessed. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Be you blessed. May you be blessed. Yeah, be you blessed. These are the words through which the Jew relates to God. Doesn't mean sometimes we're not living perfect. We're not perfect. Every second we're going to be in a mode of ava, not taiva, not for sure. But once you know it and you're aware of it, you could flip a switch. You could find your way to it. And you're much, much happier and healthier in that mind space of ava than taiva, even with the same amount of happiness and the same amount of grief. It's a much healthier place to be psychologically. Also, it's a way... point a different thing out. We are truly helpless. And everything is in Hashem's hand, and we have no control over the actual events that we create or that happen to us. However, because we were created to have bechira chofshis, free will, there is no time or situation in which we don't have free will. There can be a thing that now I'm so helpless, I have no free will. That's the problem with helplessness. The problem with being feeling helpless is there's nothing I can do. So maybe there is nothing that I can do about my friend being run over by a tractor. I have to figure out then what do I have a choice about. There are times in life where things, sometimes if you think about that way, obviously, well, I could choose how I feel about it. I could choose to try and help somebody. In that situation, maybe I don't know what to do. I'll bring them food. I don't really know where to start, you know. I'll bring them food for the Shiva or all. I don't know, right? I'll see what I could do. I'll learn from my friend. I'll try and remember the things she taught me so that they keep on going on, right? There's something I could do. Sometimes you could have a situation in your life where you're so desperate and so helpless that all you can do is say, Ribono Shalom, I know there's something here I can choose. I don't even see yet what it is. I choose to choose you. I may have to be patient to see what it is you're telling me to choose, but at least let me put myself to remember I choose you. Whatever else, it can happen. Okay, that's why you're never really utterly helpless. It's not because we think, oh, we can act and like, it's not. Hashem's the only one in control. But we have to remember that as helpless and desperate as we feel, there is always a choice there for us because that's what we're created for. So everything he sends us, there is some kind of choice involved. And if you don't see what it is yet, then you can at least choose to do what's right when you find it out. Even if you don't know yet. That alone puts you into the place of one who gives. Okay. These are the words through which the Jew relates to God. The Jew, in effect, is saying, you have entrusted the fulfillment of your will, the granting of your wishes, the promotion of your kingdom, the implementation of your work to man's free will. I'm sure each one of those clauses between the commas is a different pasuk. I just don't necessarily know which ones they are. Okay? Fulfillment of your will, doing Hashem's ratzon, that would be mitzvos in general. I mean, he wrote down, he said, here's my will. go do it. Right? But I don't know each one of them. Promotion of your kingdom, I don't know. Maybe that's Mamlechas Kohanim. I'm not sure. Okay? But I guarantee that each one is a pasuk. I just don't happen to know. Probably they're four parts of like the same series of psukim. I just don't happen to know which one. It is for this purpose that I am, that I exist. For this purpose you have created a man, meaning a human, and a Jew. For this purpose you have granted me as a human. I'll say human because otherwise it comes out sounding like weird to a group of girls, right? You have granted me as a human being, the energy to act. And you have revealed to me as a Jew what you wish to see carried out by us on earth. Does that remind you of a Mishnah and Avos?
Yeah.
Chaviv in Yisrael. Chiva Yisera no das lahem. Right? It's, do you realize when Hashem gave us a Kli Chemda, people walk around on the, people go through their whole life feeling, there must be more to this. I must have a purpose in this world. You notice what a gift it is Hashem gave us the Torah? Just for that? Just that we could find our purpose and mission and know what does he want? What does Hashem want from me? Go look. Go find out what's the halacha. That's always your starting place. If you want to know what you're meant to do in a situation, you start with the halacha. It sounds so obvious and like almost like low, like you wanted something lofty. But really, that's where you start because that's the ratzon he told you already. So start with that and see where it takes you. Every event in nature and history that you are letting me experience, all that you allow me and whatever you deny me, it is all there to remind me of my mission, to revive the strength and resolve within me to fulfill it. My God, it is my wish to discharge my duty. Be you blessed in all that you give me and in all that you withhold from me. That's called Kishem Shemavarchem Al HaTov Mevarchem Al HaRo. You hear good news, you say Baruch Atov Amitiv, or you receive something. You lose something, it's Baruch Tayin Ha'emes. May Hashem be blessed in all that you give me and all that you withhold from me. And the great power, serenity, and joy with which this idea to bless Hashem infuses the heart of every Jew is beyond compare, impossible to describe. The kinds of inner joy you could have when you realize that you're here to do. There's always a choice you can make. How can I fulfill Hashem's will? That's, and I will then be v'heyei bracha, part of that chain, right? Of Avram's kiyadati v'man asher yitzav as one of his beis ha'acharav. That's what we call. A neighbor of ours told us recently that when he was young, he grew up here in America. He didn't know he was Jewish till he was a teenager, or maybe a young teenager, 13 or something, when some boys beat him up in the street. Here in Los Angeles, they beat him up in the street and told him he was a dirty Jew. He went home and told his parents. They said, it's true. They were Holocaust survivors. No, they were Holocaust survivors, and they were afraid. So when they had a child here, they were afraid that he should know that he's Jewish. You know, it's understandable. It's wrong. It's sad to lose the most precious part of you. He ended up a firm Jew, so I guess it came out okay in the end. He said he had a friend that when he would go over to this friend's house, this must have been after this time, his friend's father would stand up and say, I have a son of Abraham in my home.
Can you imagine?
And you think, like, if this non-Jew could realize that, say, there's a child of Abraham walked into my house, and I'll stand up. I'm not standing up for him, I'm standing up for Avram, right? Really. Like, what should we think? Yeah, my son went to a dentist. I was, like, very interested that he's so religious, and he's studying, you know, this is going to be a rabbi. So he said, mind if I ask you, do you have to be a priest to be a rabbi? Meaning a kohen. You have to be a priest. I know. That would be like really weird. I guess it's not you have to be a Kohen to be a rabbi. I guess this Kohen they translate as priest, and in the church, so then the person in charge is the priest. So my son said, no, you don't. He said, happens to be, I'm a Levite. We're a Levium. He said the guy's jaw like dropped. Like he could. It's like somebody just walked off the pages of an ancient book. You just walked in and told me you're from the tribe of Levi. I don't know, we're so used to it. Like, that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Just not so many people know what shavit they're from. It's a very astonishing thing. And when you see it in someone else, then maybe it helps you remember how amazing it is. Those who say, bless me, can they ever find the fulfillment of their prayer? Standing alone, in impotent isolation, they seek to defy the hostile forest of nature and a destructive society, and achieve their own aims and pleasures, even if these be for the good. Meaning, if a person is saying, Hashem, give to me, how do you expect to get? Like, what you're saying is that the world is a bad and difficult place, and you hope to be able to achieve what you want. Maybe what you want is something good, but you still, it's the taiva side, right?
It won't be endless, because you're just asking.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Look, when we feel that we need, we are supposed to ask him, because he is the source of everything. It's not that we're not supposed to ask him, but it's a whole mindset. Also, you know that She'imali Hashem, Ishalos Libenu Latova. The minute you add on Latova, then it's not about your own agenda, right? It's what Hashem says is good. Just in saying that, you're saying also, but don't give it to me if it's not Latova. You're asking, and yet, you're asking because it appears to you that that's what you need, but there's something bigger than you.
It's also to give back. Like, you're asking that he should bless you so that you can
bless him. Yeah, that's possibly the very yamim. Mimcha kol
miyadcha nasanu lach. How does it answer the question? The question
keeps going on the other side.
What about, like, during, like, El Kainitz or Shema Kolim? Isn't
that
like a
four
personal request?
Check. You can put your personal requests in places. Shemona Esrei is the place for personal requests. And one reason for that, and this is like way beyond the scope of today, is that the mind space of Shemona Esrei is Aseh Ritzono Ritzonecha. So by the time you get to the end of Shemona Esrei, ideally, you haven't been saying, heal me, give me parnasa, give me chesed. You've been saying, give us. If you go and look at Shemona Esrei, I'll give you a new way to look at Shemona Esrei, just one little tiny slice, is if you look at Shemona Esrei and see that really it's all a description of the Geula, of Yemos HaMashiach, of a world that's perfect. Whose will is that? It's His will. That's what He created this world to become. So what we're saying, everyone should be healed. And even L'Malshinim Al-Tihi Sikva, like, every bracha we're saying, it ends with shalom. That's like the ultimate. Really what we're doing is we're saying, Hashem, like, please. We're not really asking our will, we're asking His will. Only His will is our will by then. If we've gone through brachos and we've gone through a Psukei Dezimra, and we've gone through a Kriya Shema, where we're Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, saying whatever is your will, I want that to be my will. Then at some point you can get to a Shemona Esrei, and it's really Einod Melvado. It's almost like there's no you and your own will anymore. You really become one in your Shemona Esrei with Hashem's will. That's what you're trying to achieve. It's a very high goal to achieve, but that's really the goal. So if in there you would have a personal request in that context, much healthier context than any other part of davening. Because if it's part of that context, then you're thinking in terms of the world that Hashem wants it to be, and you're adding to that your own desire that it should be how Hashem wants it to be, then that's what you're davening for. And if the things you feel you need are within that, that's a healthy thing. It's that Mishal Slibet Latova a little bit, like they become one with it. Really, everything's kind of included in the Shemona Esrei. Most things you could find inside Shemona Esrei, the right place to put them, and you just add them before the bracha. The same way we do with Rafa'inu, it's really for other things also. But I don't know why only Rafa'inu is kind of like more noticeable. That's really for all the things. Okay.
Are really supposed to not, if we're like davening Shemona Esrei properly, are we not supposed to have our own brachos then?
I think it's very blurry. What's yours? What's your bakasha and what's Hashem's ratzon? It becomes blurry.
Well, I guess
it's not that you don't have any will. It's that your will and His will are. You want your will to be His will. So,
is it ideally? I'm just saying, is it ideally that in the end, like of all your will that working on tefillah and ministry, that it should come to the point that your every bracha is so filled with your bakashas being given to Hashem that you'll not have separate ones outside of the brachas already.
Part of me wants to say yes, and part of me wants to say l'maisa no. And the reason l'maisa no is that we see that everything has been set up for us to feel need and to ask constantly. The fact that we have to eat on a regular basis reminds us that we always have to. I think just because we live a physical life, I think we're not. What you're saying would mean that I would go through my entire day in a state of Shemona Esrei, right? I think. Meaning, if I could be in the mindset of Shemona Esrei full-time, because my brachos are all through the day, but we're not meant to live in Shemona Esrei all day. In the end, you say Shemona Esrei, you're not done davening yet. You have a step down that corresponds to the step up. You go from brachos to Psukei Dezimra to Kriya Shema to Shemona Esrei, and then back down again through... I'm a little bit off. I'm missing one. Uva Letzion. And Aleinu and Shir Shoyo. Meaning you're walking into the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodeshim is your Shemona Esrei, and then you walk back out.
So cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I think no. Why, I don't know. But we're supposed to go in three times a day. Meaning you're supposed to go in every time and remind yourself and reorient yourself properly to the real world. The real world is the spiritual world. And then you're supposed to walk back out and take that with you into the physical world. So if you're living in the physical world, you're going to feel hungry. You're going to feel that you need something. And then you have to ask.
Doesn't Hashem want us to ask?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that we see that He put us in this physical world where we are finite and needy and because of that. So somehow we're supposed to touch base with it briefly every day. And then that's what carries us through the rest of the day. But the rest of the day, we're not standing in front of Esrei all day. We're really supposed to be out in the world the rest of the day.
So we don't have to limit what we ask Hashem for.
We never should limit what we ask. It helps us get back in touch. Okay, it's 4:29. Where are we in this paragraph? We're not able to finish this paragraph, I don't think. One minute. They expect that simply mouthing, "Bless me," will enable them to do all this, that they will then gain the courage and strength to pursue these aims. But will this prayer on their lips ensure that they attain what is denied to others? I mean, lots of people could be asking. They might even be asking for the opposite thing. I want to win. I want to win. Everyone wants to win the same mega whatever it is, lottery, right? Will this prayer make them succeed where thousands have failed? Yeah, we'll stop there. If the show will continue next time.
Thank you.
It's starting to make some sense.
Yeah. I'm
so
confused. I don't know. Because it's because of the difference between saying I want to be control and blessed. Like,
right.
Blessed is like be blessed. Like, I mean, that I do
so
well.
He's going to translate this as, may your work be implemented through me. That's sort of like the be blessed in what I do. It's a very different way of thinking about it, and it doesn't mean that the other way is wrong altogether. But he's making a compelling argument, and it's also not his chiddush. I mean, the fact that you translate Hashem, that you translate Baruch Atah Hashem that way, is not a chiddush.
It just threw me off to use the word blessed.
Yeah, so
like,
don't
yeah,
use it.
Like it.
Use the word Baruch by itself.
Right.
So, it's hard. You have to find your own tricks. You know, you put like the little post-its in the sitter,
yeah.
Like to help you remember the thing you wanted to be thinking of.
Right.
Why is the phrase like Baruch Atah? Because if the dinyan of Baruch is like you are this like
the Baruch doesn't include the word Atah in it. Baruch means it's on the receiving end, but it doesn't tell you who it is. It is surprising that you say afterward Atah, because Atah is a very familiar way of addressing Hashem.
How does it follow once you say Baruch is that your will should be implemented through me? And
Baruch is a peak. It's really very much a peak. If we're breaking down like into these four olamos of like Baruch is like very, very lofty, Ratzon Hashem, and Atah is like also like as if face to face, it's like Kriya Shema almost. And then Elokeinu is the word that the Pesukim used to describe, like Hashem creating the forces of nature, Bereishis Bara Elokim, and then Melech HaOlam is like the Olam, like the physical. So you're kind of starting at the top and plunge in at the deep end, then work your way down in a bracha. It's quite a
the whole phrase.
So he says, "Be you blessed, or may your will be implemented through me." Those are Rav Hirsch's phrases. Like in all that I do, may you be blessed.
Wait, what does that mean, may you be blessed? Like, may other people say, like, I see that you are
may
a
you be
blessed.
Yeah, that would be one. It sounds like one way he's translating this idea of bracha is that, yeah, that others recognize that it's sung out like the stars, like all the creations in behaving in the way, in acting according to how they've been created, they reveal the identity of their creator. That's
so
one aspect of Baruch Hu Shemo. That's a little bit of that. There's also, it's that amplification. It's all the number two, we said, right? The Beis is 2, and Reish is 200, and Chaf is 20. It's multiplying. The idea of multiplying. Bracha, also one explanation of Bracha, is always multiplying more and more and more. Sometimes Rashi will translate something that's based on the word Baruch as you should multiply, like you should have more. So if you're saying Baruch Atah Hashem, Hashem can't have more of anything other than knowledge of him.
That's
Hashem's glory, that the world should be filled with his glory. Ultimately, Yomala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem, that would be like the maximal amount.
Right.
But for now, it's very much like act by act, sort of. There's also Baruch in the sense of his will being fulfilled somehow seems to be also like a translation of Baruch, right? Like when his will is implemented, that's called that he's Baruch.
Wait, what does that mean though?
I don't know. I don't know. Because that's where we get to the part that, like, it's like, how could we say such a thing?
Right.
How could we say it? But we don't. Meaning, you know, there's ideas. You hear them. You hear them in school. I used to hear these things, but they don't mean anything to me, which is fine. Like, I don't have security clearance for that. You know, Hashem, there was some kind of tzimtzum. He was mitzamtzim himself. You heard this one? To make space for the Olam, because he's infinite, so how could there be a finite world? Okay, but now what do I do with this piece of information? I don't know. Have I helped you in your life? Not yet. Okay? Not yet.
You have.
Not
yet. That piece of information.
Not in this area, right? But this is a common thing. In Hasidus, it will be talked about. It's like a not such an unusual statement that people will make. I'm sure it's true. It's just difficult to know what to make of that. Like I said, my security clearance doesn't allow me into that part of the building. Like, I don't. What could I do with it? I don't know. All I know is he said that we should perform his will. And he gave us the means to do it. Therefore, there's something I contribute by doing it.
Maybe that's why this world, it has its flaws and has its imperfections. Same way we said, like, people have need, but it gives us a place to contribute. Right? The world has this incompleteness and this gullah state. It gives us a place to contribute. That's a chesed. That's a kindness. That's Mesillas Yesharim says we were created, right, in order to be able to do, so we shouldn't come to the next world ashamed. Hashem wanted to do chesed for us, and he doesn't want us to come ashamed that we didn't contribute anything. He's only giving to us. Even that, I mean, it's there in Mesillas Yesharim. Right? Nahama de Chesufa, the bread of shame. A person doesn't want the bread of shame. That someone's just giving to them, and they don't have anything to contribute. But he made us this way. He made us want to contribute. I don't know.
Right,
I don't
true.
Know. This is really beyond. Like,
and
I don't know. I just could see that it is true. But I, why is it true? I think that's way beyond. I don't think it's something we can contemplate, really.
Yeah,
let alone understand. Even to contemplate it is already, like, not for us, maybe.
You would think,
I'd like to say
that Hashem is so great. Should maybe have been able to, like, think of a way to give somebody pleasure without
just
having to make them
just
suffer at all.
Right.
Like,
or just
right.
not give
it
us.
It seems like that greatest
shame.
Pleasure is
yeah.
the giving. That's why he said over here, when you get to that state of mind, this is the greatest joy and bliss that you're going to ever feel in your heart. It's indescribable. Giving is the greater pleasure. So the greatest pleasure you could give someone is letting them give. But why is it that way? I don't know. But I could learn a lot just from the part that I could know. Yeah.
You're welcome.